Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. What would you do if you learned that there was a way to go back in time? Well, that's the premise of the entertaining novel, The House of Remember When, from Scott Jameson Sanders, the story of Neil Moreland as he attempts to put his life and family back together. He's drawn to an old abandoned home that turns out to be a time portal that allows him to go back in time to relive past moments from his life. He can't change his actions or the outcome of the previous event, but he is able to review the experience and see it from a new perspective. Author Scott Jameson Sanders is an independent business owner, a degree in psychology, an MBA in finance, a lifetime of experience in creative writing and storytelling. He began writing with the support of his English teacher in ninth grade. Scott has completed many short stories, over 12 screenplays, and along with his brother, they are avid songwriters, over 400 songs in their combined portfolio. Scott Jameson Sanders, author of The House of Remember When, our guest on This Week in America. Scott, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you having me on.
I love this book. It's going to be so much fun to talk about it. First of all, the first thing I love is the title. That is the appropriate title for the house and the story you're talking about. How long has this been the story been developing? What's the inspiration for the story?
Well, I'll start with how the title came about. My brother and I went to the same college. We were in the same fraternity, and our college was about 5 hours from our home. We're both from Cleveland, Ohio. And when we would take these long car rides, back in the days before, you know, nice stereos and books on tape and all that
yes.
stuff, we would just talk about past memories from our life. And we usually started each one of our, stories, which was usually something about girls or football or something.
yes.
Remember when we went to that dance? Remember when we went to that game? And so we called our recollection of events from our past, Remember When. And somewhat comically, if we ever got something wrong in the story, the other brother was allowed to punch that brother as hard as he could on the shoulder. So we strove to make the stories as accurate as we could with our memories. And so we called them Remember Whens. And originally, I was struggling for a title of the book, The House Has a Green Door. And I was thinking of calling it The House with the Green Door, until a friend of mine told me that that was the same name as a illicit movie that from the 70s, and it would not be a good title. So we came up with How to Remember When, and it does. It fits. I've had the idea for quite a while.
Yeah, it fits exactly. I mean, that sums it up, The House of Remember When, because that's what happens when you go in that door. Let's sort of set, I love the preface because that sort of sets the stage for the entire book. Let's talk about it. The book is told in the first person, and he flashes back to the fifth inning of a baseball game, high school varsity. Talk about that, because that's one of those memories that you want to hang on to for a lifetime, and then we'll expand on that as we get into the book.
Well, and yes, that's how the book begins, is with one of his favorite memories from high school, and it's actually quite a true story, and at least that part of the book is true. And it's really talking about, you know, something not like glory days or, you know, remembering back to, you know, when you made the touchdown or what have you, but it's a way to go back in time and sort of remember things that gave you a feeling of confidence or gave you a feeling of pride. And the main character in the book really struggles with that, and that's one of the things that he's intent on overcoming throughout the course of the novel. And we begin with one of his greatest and funnest Remember Whens, which is making an unbelievable catch that his friends and his coach and others probably still remember to this day.
And it's interesting because Neil says, if only you could find a way to bottle that feeling so you could keep it with you, especially when times are tough and life kicks you in the butt.
Exactly.
The story, as you say, is about one of those times, and we all have memories like that. Boy, if we could just go back and draw on those. Let's talk about Neil, because at this point in his life, he's going through a whole lot of problems, isn't he?
Neil is going through a midlife crisis of sorts. His job has become somewhat rote and boring at this point. Although he's good at it, he just doesn't have the energy to put the effort in like he used to. And his family life has become somewhat rote and boring as well. He's struggling to kind of find the spark that he and his wife originally had when they first got married. And yeah, he's, I would say, going through a tough time. He's also gone through a stretch of not taking very good care of himself physically. And that starts to catch up to him throughout the course of the book.
The book is called The House of Remember When. It's by Scott Jameson Sanders. The book's available at bookventure.com at the bookstore. You'll find it at Amazon. Information on the book and Scott at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can click on directly and get information on the book. He's drawn to this house, the strange-looking house with a green door at the end of the street, and he's out walking his dog, and he's drawn to that house. Without giving away too much, talk about the pull of that house and when he realizes that the house is a time portal.
Yeah, he's got a love for dogs, including his dog, which is typical kind of mongrel mutt named Dingo.
Dingo, yes,
and
I love
the
that.
Dog, yeah, I thought that was sort of humorous. I went through several names before I finally came up with that one, and it sort of fit. But the dog initially draws him or pulls him towards the house, and then when he gets there, he hears a voice in his head that isn't like, coming from a speaker, and it doesn't have an echo, so he's really curious about the voice, and the voice is inviting him inside. And at this point in the book, you're not really sure what the house has got to offer him in terms of what he could experience going in, so he hesitates. But eventually, the house draws him back, and he does go in to discover that there's a spirit guide in the house who is there to try to help him explore past experiences in his life that have had a dramatic impact on him in a good or bad way. And in some ways, the premise of the time machine is different than some other books and movies of the past in that he isn't able to change anything. He can just re-experience it again. But within his framework of as a 50-year-old, instead of at the time, if he went back when he was 16, per se, he sees it again out of the eyes of a 50-year-old. So he's able to experience it again in a way that perhaps he can learn something from it or even use it to change or motivate him to change in a way that's more positive.
And how does he use that? Because he is able to go back, take some experiences from his life, look at those from a different perspective and gain from those, which is just an example or two of what he's able to do with a past experience where now suddenly it makes a lot more sense to him than it did at the time.
Yeah, one of the times he goes back, and our main character, Neil Moreland, has got an estranged father who he hasn't talked to in a number of years. And he goes on to discover that his father is suffering from memory loss or dementia. And one of the times that he decides to go back is to an event where his father really wasn't very supportive of him. And without giving away too much detail, he goes back and he's at this award ceremony and he looks out into the audience and the chair next to his mother is empty. And Neil remembers how bitter he felt about that when it initially happened. But he later learns that the reason the chair was empty next to his mother was that his father had gone up front to take his picture. And they had framed it and sent it to him. So he ultimately discovers that this event that he looked at for years as a negative was really more of a positive, and he had misread the situation. And that's really what almost every one of the experiences of going back in time are doing. They're enabling him to see it from a different perspective. And in this case, it really helps him on his road to reconciling with his father and forgiving his father for some of the things that where his father just came up short in many ways.
For a reader, as close as we're going to get to a time portal or a time machine is the book, The House of Remember When. And as you're reading, you're thinking about experiences in your life. And when you put it in perspective and go back with the perspective of someone who's a little more mature, hopefully older, it really does help, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. And I think that's somewhat what our life is about here, is that, we're all going to have grown up with certain things that have influenced us in a dramatic way. And I always tell a lot of people that, at this point in time as adults, you can't blame our parents anymore. They did the best that they could. The time has come for us to look at ourselves and to make the proper and necessary adjustments to our life so that we're not dragged down by things, negative things that might have happened to us in the past. And that's a big part of what helps Neil deal with his problems, with the boredom at his job and, you know, a marriage that has kind of been crumbling for a number of years.
You know, in this whole process, Neil says that it took a long time to figure it out, but he has, that life is a lot simpler than I once thought. It does sort of break it down, doesn't it, on a level that we can understand a little better.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's been pretty personal for me in the way that, you know, I've dealt with my adult life. One of the things that's similar about the Neil Moreland character and myself is that I also had two adopted children. And as I've become a parent, I've recognized that there are no perfect parents. We all make mistakes, and especially in cases where there's been bitterness and estrangement. You know, hopefully life gives you the chance to correct those things and to get back into a good relationship with the person that maybe didn't, you know, do everything perfectly in his life. Because I'm certainly, as a father, not doing everything perfectly for my kids either.
In fact, you've got a chapter. It starts off, despite appearances to the contrary, we all have something wrong with us. And I love the, and I guess we can tease a couple of the chapter titles, because they're chapter titles, topics you're talking about that we all can relate to. We all have some flaws, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. And I'm not sure who originally told me this, but someone had once said to me, if we met as a group and everybody could actually put their problems in front of them so that you could see what they were, and we all looked at each other's problems, no one would trade their problems for someone else's. So we all have something that we have to deal with. And the main character in this book is certainly one that needs to deal with a number of things in his life.
The book is The House of Remember When. This is an excellent read by Scott Jamison Sanders. It's available at bookventure.com at the bookstore, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. Link on directly to get information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple of chapters, you talk about dreams, and that's how we started this whole conversation, talking about this memory from his high school baseball days. Dreams always mean something, and dreams are experiences as real as life itself. Both of those really resonate, especially, I guess, experiences as real as life itself. If we dream it, there's a reason, isn't there?
There's always a reason behind our dreams. In fact, I think everyone, it would be wise to have a pad of paper or a tape recorder next to their bed so that we do a better job of remembering our dreams, because there's always a purpose. Your mind is working through things as we sleep. Not only are we regenerating the cells and the energy that we've wasted during the day or that we've drained during the day, but we're getting a different perspective on certain things. So I do, you know, in my life, I do make an effort to keep track of my dreams and to analyze what did that really mean. Not to get too Freudian here, but they all do mean something. And our brain is, you know, our brain is our friend if we use it correctly. And our brain can help us to resolve issues. And I think our time when we're asleep and we're dreaming is really meaningful. And not every dream is a good dream. Some dreams might steer you to avoid certain things in your life. But I've always been fascinated by the concept of deja vu. And a lot of doctors believe everyone's had a deja vu experience, but a lot of doctors believe it's because we dreamed it before. So our mind is working through, you know, a number of different issues, but it's also giving us a viewpoint and a glimpse at our future in many ways. So when that event actually does happen, sometimes it feels like you've already experienced it, because in your dreams you did.
You know, there's that psychology degree coming back to help you as a writer.
Right.
Talk about the benefit of that as you're laying Neil out there, because we really understand the guy, flaws and all. That's why he is such a relatable character. That psychology degree had to come in handy as you were creating this character.
Yeah, like I said, I was a psychology degree as an undergrad, and then found myself in the business world because I didn't find any jobs that were really related to psychology coming out of school. So I've got an interesting combination of, you know, having the psychology with the business, and it's helped me quite a bit in the business world. I'm primarily focused on marketing and sales, but the thing that I remember from undergraduate school in psychology that I really was fascinated with was perspective. And for instance, well-known fact that a good percentage of men are colorblind, but the only way you're really going to know you're colorblind is if you take one of those tests and you look at the numbers and the little circles, and if you can't see the number, there's a chance you've got either gray, blue, brown colorblindness. But our perspective is, we don't know it until someone points it out to us, because it's our reality. What we see within, with our eyes, is our reality. And that's true with, you know, our dreams as well. We can change our perspective on life by working through them and trying to see them from a different angle. And that's really beneath it all. That's the premise of the book, is that we've got a chance to change. It doesn't matter what age group you're in or what have you. We can use our minds and the good parts of our mind to make our lives better, more fulfilling, and certainly become a person that's more generous and able to give back.
And in the book, The House of Remember When, a few minutes left, time going by way too quickly with the author, Scott Jamison Sanders. You also talk about memories. One chapter, memories remain locked in our minds forever. And the other one I love too, good memories are always get better with time. Memories are there, and then maybe a little subconsciously enhanced over the course of the years. They do get better with time, don't they?
They really do. The positive ones should. And it is something that's not a bad thing. And, you know, bordering on, you know, narcissism or egotism, we want to use those memories, those good memories, as a way to help ourselves feel good about ourselves, about our life. So, you know, I don't condone or advocate living in the past, so to speak, but we can use the good events of our past to remind ourselves that we've got a lot of blessings, that throughout our lives we've had events where we were the one that won the game, that we were the one that scored the touchdown and or won an award of some sort. Those things are really positive and good for us when we're down on ourselves or feeling like life has dealt us a, you know, a negative blow. And, you know, and people go through, I think the very beginning preface is, we all go through times where life's going to kick our butt. And when we go through those times, we need to remember that it hasn't all been bad, that there's been positive points in our lives. And it's okay to go back and revisit those and use those as a way to, you know, hopefully see more of that kind of positivity into the future.
It's a great balance, and I've got just a minute or so left here. One of my favorite chapters, if it reminds you of Eddie Haskell, don't do it. I'm old enough, I remember Eddie Haskell. I love that chapter.
Well, yeah, that was one of my favorite shows. I was in the 60s, and I just love, especially the early versions of Leave It to Beaver, but whenever Eddie Haskell was concocting a plan or coming up with it, you knew it was going to lead to something bad. And there's certainly a time within the book where the character makes some bad decisions about what he's going to do. And they remind you of Eddie Haskell, the premise is don't do it. Back away and change your mind and do something else.
I mentioned all of the creative activity you've got going with the short stories, with the screenplays, all the music you've done with your brother. This is the first book, I understand, that you published, The House of Remember When. What are you working on now? Another novel?
Actually, I'm writing the screenplay to this
Ooh,
novel.
Ooh, fantastic.
So that I have, screenplays come a lot easier for me because it's mostly dialogue, and I've always enjoyed writing dialogue. In fact, some of the feedback I've gotten on this book is that people love the dialogue.
Yes.
And I'm glad, because that's the part that I really enjoy writing, especially some of the characters in the book that are not, you know, any one person. They're usually a combination of people from my past. But then I get the person into my head, and I really imagine who they are, and then the dialogue just flows. So, this was my first attempt at a book, and it was a lot harder than I expected because, you need to vary your vocabulary, the book needs to flow, and every word that you write has to have some meaning to it and progress the plot along. So screenplays are easier, they're fun, you get them done a lot sooner, but I'm much more proud of the accomplishment of having written a book. It was one of my goals in life, and it took about 5 years to get this thing to a point where I wasn't embarrassed to have people read it. And now I'm quite proud of it.
And you should be. The book is The House of Remember When. Scott Jamison Sanders, the author and our guest. You'll find it at bookventure.com in the bookstore. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Link on directly to information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Anxious to read the next book. Anxious to see if this is made into a screenplay, because you've got all the elements here. I love the book. The House of Remember When. Scott, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Great job on the first book. Looking forward to more.
Absolutely, Rick. Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. And once again, the name of the book, The House of Remember When, Scott Jamison Sanders, our guest on the program. Book available at bookventure.com at the bookstore, Amazon, and you can link on directly to those sites by going to our site, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.